What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. In fantasy football, we all know that having an elite tight end gives you a major advantage. It makes your life so much easier. So today, we're going to find the next Travis Kelce, the next TJ Hawkinson, the next Sam Laporta, one of these tight ends that became a set it and forget it tight end in 2023, an elite tight end one advantage over the rest of your league mates, using the roadmap of years past league winning tight ends to evaluate the guys that we have this year. We're going to determine how we want to approach the tight end position this year, as I've done for quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. This is the final video of this series talking about finding the next league winning blank quarterback, wide receiver, running back, and tight end. Is this a good year to pay up? Is it a good year to punt? Is it a good year to target the mid-round options? We will cover all of that and more in today's video. This should be your one-stop shop for overall tight end strategy in 2024 fantasy football drafts. If you get some value from this video, leave a like, comment down below any of your thoughts, subscribe if you're new. Now let's get into it. All right, so as we've done in the other videos, we're going over the past league winners at each position to determine the roadmap and the overall guidelines for the next fantasy football tight end that is going to win people leagues. League winning tight ends, I would say, kind of have two definitions as opposed to like running backs, wide receivers, and quarterbacks. Because a league-winning tight end could be a guy that you drafted early, like a Kyle Pitts or a Travis Kelce or a Dalton Kincaid or something, who produces a monster year, a 14-plus point-per-game season, or it could be a guy that you just like pick up off waiver wires, or a guy that you get really late in your draft that becomes a set-it-and-forget-it tight end one for you, ergo giving you a big advantage from an opportunity cost standpoint, even if they're not quite as good as those elite options. Last year, I mean, Sam Laporta was both. You probably got him late in drafts or off the waiver wire, and he was a 14-point-per-game scorer, but that is extremely, extremely rare. Normally, you see Travis Kelce, TJ Hawkinson, George Kittle, Evan Ingram, David Njoku, the guys that are going earlier on in drafts as the guys that finish as the high-end dudes, and then, you know, every once in a while, we get a Trey McBride, we get a Sam Laporta, we get one of these off-the-waiver wire guys that really, really helps people out. So we're going to examine the past 32 tight end league winners since the year 2013. There have been 32 guys to finish with 14 points per game in PPR leagues or more. The reason that I'm using the number 14 is because that is, on average, a top three season in PPR points per game for the tight end position. So these guys were truly set it and forget it dudes. We're going to look at how much volume they needed to achieve these seasons first, and then what their situation was like. So on the screen, you can see last year we had Kelce, Hawkinson, and Sam Laporta. Of course, we see a lot of Travis Kelce on this list, a lot of Rob Gronkowski on this list, a lot of Zach Ertz on this list, a lot of George Kittle on this list, Mark Andrews on this list. You guys know the elite fantasy football tight ends. This past year, like I said, Hawkinson, Laporta, and Kelce were the guys that finished as league winners. As always, green means anything that they achieved above average among these averages for these 32 guys. Yellow, about average, and red, they missed the mark on, just below average. The averages that we're looking for when it comes to these 32 tight ends are about 8 targets per game, 5.5 receptions per game, a touchdown every 2 games or so, basically paced out that equaled 137 targets, 95 receptions, and about 10 receiving touchdowns. So that is kind of like the big time volume stats that we need for these tight ends. But as we know, especially at tight end, volume isn't necessarily everything. Not all volume is created equally. A George Kittle target from Brock Purdy in the 49ers offense is going to be worth way more than a Hunter Henry target in the New England Patriots offense, for example. George Kittle has been on this list three times, and outside of 2018, he was never really commanding elite volume. He was basically just getting there on the back of big plays, high yardage, high efficiency, and sometimes a super big touchdown scoring season as well. So these were the tight ends, the 32 guys stacked up by situational factors, where we're looking at how good their offense was, how good their quarterback was, how high in the pecking order were they in terms of team targets, things of that nature. Tight end is one of those positions where you can kind of just be an elite option with one or two things breaking right for you. I think a perfect example of this was Eric Ebron a couple years ago when he just scored a bunch of touchdowns with Andrew Luck, where he wasn't really necessarily that great of a tight end that year. He just scored touchdowns and played with a great quarterback. So these were the averages of the situational factors. Like I said, you want it on average being a top 10 scoring offense with a top 8 quarterback. I use QBR as basically the way to measure that. But again, just generally a good quarterback is a good check mark for that. And then rank and team pass attempts, you want to be on about a top 12 scoring offense in terms of overall pass volume. And then on in terms of team targets, you can see that more often than not, these tight ends were either the number one in their offense or the number two. Only two of the 32 tight ends were not the first or second player in overall targets on their team that year. So again, we want guys that are high in the pecking order at tight end because those guys are typically very rare. And when you can get that high in the pecking order in your team's passing game, you have a super high ceiling as a result. And then only one of the 32 guys were not first or second on their team in touchdowns. Of course, tight ends, we want them involved in the red zone. Makes total sense there. And then in terms of route participation and inline usage, these are really important because not all tight ends who's a starter, quote unquote, are used equally. Some starting tight ends block a lot. Some starting tight ends don't run a whole lot of routes. And some backup tight ends or guys that are even in tight end committees are on the field for all of the important snaps. The perfect example of that is a guy like Mark Andrews, who comes off the field sometimes. But when there is a route to be run on the Baltimore Ravens, he's out there 95% of the time, which is an important distinction to make from just his overall snap count. Only four of the tight ends on this list were sub 70% in terms of overall route participation, and all four of those guys just had monster touchdown totals to make up for it. And then in line percentage, 25 of 32 were under 50% in line percentage. So again, you want guys that are used in the slot out wide, not guys that are just hand in the dirt blockers most of the time. And then we also have rank in yards per route run, 5.19 yards per route run. Obviously a lot goes into that. Quarterback play and offensive production does usually go into that. But generally I just use this as a measure of, are these tight ends talented enough to actually finish as elite options? Again, we want glorified slot wide receivers or glorified big wide receivers. It's no secret. We don't like tight ends who block most of the time. We want guys who rank highly in the yards per route run, in the PFF receiving grade, in the efficiency stats that we're looking for. Typically, these league-winning ceilings come from a couple different paths. The main path that it usually can come from is just being like the number one on your team. Darren Waller, TJ Hawkinson, Zach Ertz have kind of proven that in years past. Sometimes you get that big touchdown potential season with Sam Laporta, Jimmy Graham, Rob Gronkowski, Tyler Eifert, Julius Thomas. Some of those guys have just spiked big-time touchdown upside. And then, obviously, the best is the combination of the two. When you're the number one or the number two high-end number of targets on your team, and you're also the number one red zone target like Travis Kelce is, like Rob Gronkowski is, like Mark Andrews is, that's what gives you those really, really high 16, 17, 18 potentially point per game seasons at the tight end position. So we're going to use this information. Like I said, we're creating a roadmap at the tight end position to evaluate which guys got it this year, the upside that we're looking for, and which guys do not have the upside that we're looking for. So we're going to go 8x8 in underdog ADP. And then at the end, we're kind of going to evaluate the landscape of the tight end position and determine which pockets of the draft, based kind of also on the other positions and where we like them, we want to attack the tight end position. So stick around to the end for that. The tight end 1 through 8, you guys can see them on the screen there. This is in order of underdog ADP. So Sam Laporta, Travis Kelce, Trey McBride, Mark Andrews, Dalton Kincaid, Kyle Pitts, George Kittle, and Evan Engram are the top 8 tight ends in fantasy drafts this year. Again, when you look at their outlooks, it looks quite rosy for a lot of these guys. What jumps out to me is that Travis Kelce, despite having high injury and age concerns, pretty much checks every other box just like he did last year. I even downticked him in yards per out run just because he is a little bit older. Like I actually tried to make him look worse than he is because I could have very easily not included age and injury concerns or included any kind of talent drop off in the yards per out run. And Travis Kelce would be green all the way down the board like he was last year. So again, Travis Kelce to me is the tight end one in fantasy. I love Sam Laporta, but he is not a better fantasy option than Travis Kelce. Sam Laporta and Trey McBride jump out as quite safe options as well. They don't have a single box that they do not check, which is pretty rare for any position group. So Sam Laporta, Trey McBride, again, I feel confident that Trey McBride is going to lose some volume to Marvin Harrison Jr., but he is still going to be a top two target on that offense. It's an offense that I think could take a step forward this year. And then Sam Laporta, yeah, Amon-Ra is going to be the lead target there, and I expect J-Mo maybe to take a small step forward as well, but it should be Sam Laporta as the number two guy in the red zone as well as just overall target share. I think this next range of tight ends is a very interesting discussion because when it comes to Mark Andrews, Dalton Kincaid, and Kyle Pitts, they're pretty nutted ceiling plays. When you think about how high of ceilings these guys have, now, I don't think that necessarily all three of these guys will hit big, but if you think of the best range of outcomes for each guys, Mark Andrews is definitely going to need to have like a big target and touchdown type of ceiling. Does he still have that left in the tank at his advanced age? He's got a little bit of injury concerns. We know the Ravens have Zay Flowers there, and they're not the most pass-friendly offense. So Andrews, I would say, has the most concerns of these three options. With Dalton Kincaid and Kyle Pitts, like if they're good enough players, that's literally all it comes down to, they are going to smash for fantasy because Kincaid has a chance to legitimately be the number one receiver for Josh Allen, or at least just a high-volume tight end in general in a pass-heavy offense, in an offense where there's not a solidified dude right now. Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir are all fine, but Dalton Kincaid theoretically projects as their highest target earner. And then with Kyle Pitts, if he can be utilized properly in this new offense with Zach Robinson coming in, he had his two biggest issues solved this offseason, which is number one, Arthur Smith is no longer there, which means that they're not going to run the ball constantly. They're actually going to pass the ball probably more often than they run for once in Kyle Pitts' career. And Kyle Pitts has a chance to be in an offense that throws 600 times, which would be a stark, vast 120 pass attempt increase from the Falcons' offenses he's played this whole career. And his other major issue was not only did he get a quarterback upgrade, he got two. He got Kirk Cousins as the main quarterback upgrade, who of course is a top 15 quarterback in the NFL, potentially better. And he also got some insurance behind Kirk Cousins if he deals with injury that Michael Penix was a first round pick and has a chance to play if Kirk Cousins misses time. So for me, I look at Kyle Pitts as, yeah, he seems risky in theory, but he actually really isn't because his injury concerns are no longer there. He's 2 years removed from that cleanup procedure that he had. The offensive concerns are no longer there. If Kyle Pitts is as good as we think he is and all the spreadsheet nerds think he's a great player, he is going to absolutely crush for fantasy. And in the round four, round five range where Andrews, Kincaid, and Pitts go, it's that range of the draft where running backs and wide receivers take a little bit of a step down. I think rounds 1 to 3, it's hard for me to pull the trigger on Sam Laporta and Travis Kelce because there's so many great running backs and wide receivers there. But rounds 4, 5, and potentially even 6, if people are really against these guys, you're going to get much better options at tight end here with these three guys than you are getting with like a wide receiver 2 projection or a wide receiver 3 projection or a dead zone running back projection. So I really do like this range of the draft as a range that I'm targeting at the tight end position. Then we get into George Kittle and Evan Ingram. I think they're pretty clearly behind those guys, but that's okay because they're going behind them pretty well, actually, after them in ADP. George Kittle is a guy that you can routinely get in the mid to late 6th round as opposed to like 4 or 5 turn where you have to take those other guys. And then Evan Ingram probably around the end of the 6th, early 7th round is where you're getting him. Of the two, I definitely prefer George Kittle. I just want to bet on the efficiency, bet on the talent, bet on the player that I've seen. George Kittle, who's finished on this list 3 times already, he is the type of dude that can absolutely break fantasy, especially if one of those 49ers pass catchers, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, ends up suffering an injury, he has a chance to move up the pecking order. But for the most part, he is definitely behind the rest of those guys. So that top 8 tier for me is very clearly, and I would actually even probably not include Evan Ingram. He's probably more so in line with the tight ends 9 through 11 that I'm about to talk about. But that top 7 tier specifically, I am looking to secure one of those guys this year because I think there is a very, very easy way that you can deviate away from attacking the running back and wide receiver position. I already told you guys in the quarterback video, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, that late round quarterback is back, and it's the type of strategy that you can use to punt the quarterback position, still get a great option, and fill out the rest of your roster. And part of the reason why I'm comfortable doing that at quarterback is because I'm more confident in the projections of these elite tight ends relative to the rest of the field. I think Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, and those guys will be great, but I do think that the late round 15 quarterback is also going to be great. So scarcity creates value, and that's why these tight ends are expected to be very, very good options. The tight end 9 through 16, you guys can see them on the screen there. Ferguson, Bowers, David Njoku, Dallas Goedert, Pat Freiermuth, Dalton Schultz, Cole Kmet, and TJ Hawkinson. I think there's a pretty clear mini tier of these guys at the top. Like I said, I think Evan Ingram is probably in the tier with these guys. Jake Ferguson of the Cowboys is clearly the volume play because other than CeeDee Lamb, it's a pass-heavy offense. There's not much to go around outside of CeeDee Lamb. There's going to be another proven target there, whether it's Cooks or it's Ferguson. I believe it will be Ferguson, so I think he is a great volume play. Brock Bowers is an awesome upside swing, the best tight end prospect that I've ever scouted, and he has a chance to go in right away, be used in a versatile way, get some layup type of throws on crossing routes, on design touches, things of that nature. And we know that once he's actually out there running routes against defensive backs, against safeties, against linebackers, I feel confident that Brock Bowers is going to make an immediate impact to the tune of what Sam Laporta did last year. The only problem is Sam Laporta played for an elite offense. Brock Bowers plays for one of the worst offenses in the NFL. So can he overcome that? That's his major concern. David Njoku, I think, is a good mix of the two, right? He has the volume like Ferguson, but he also has the upside like Brock Bowers. And he is a guy that I find myself targeting very, very often because even though he has some concern, like, I mean, Amari Cooper and Jerry Jeudy are proven target earners. David Njoku's quarterback position is a little bit in flux with Deshaun Watson right now. They keep talking this dude up. They keep talking about wanting to go more up-tempo, keep talking about David Njoku getting a lot of targets and getting a lot of looks. So I feel really confident in David Njoku's price tag this year. For a guy who is literally the best tight end in fantasy from week 8 through the rest of the season, you would think he'd be going higher than this. I'm really surprised he's not going ahead of Evan Ingram or ahead of some of these guys just based on what he did at the end of the season. It's really shocking to me that he was actually better than Trey McBride down the stretch, and Trey McBride is the tight end 3 in ADP, and David Njoku is the tight end 11. So those three guys specifically are like my last chance to get a tight end who I think is a set it and forget it starter, and I've been heavily targeting those three guys. Failing that, there is a couple options that I like later, and Dallas Goedert and Pat Freiermuth make up a nice little mini tier behind them. A solid mix of floor and top six upside, I would say, but they're probably just a tad short of being elite league winning upside, because with Goddard, he's got to compete with Devontae Smith and AJ Brown, and unless one of those guys get injured, he's probably not going to be a league winner. And then with Pat Freiermuth, he plays in what we expect to be probably the most run-heavy offense in the NFL with Arthur Smith there, with the two running backs that they have. And even though he's clearly the number two target, in my opinion, behind George Pickens, I don't really think Russell Wilson / Justin Fields is going to be enough of a great, efficient passing game to be able to make Pat Freiermuth like a league winner. But like I said, would it shock me if Pat Freiermuth finished like tight end 6, tight end 7 in fantasy this year? No, I think he actually is a pretty safe option if you punt the tight end position. He's one of my favorite punt tight ends to go after. These next two guys, Dalton Schultz and Cole Kmet, in my opinion, they're best ball only because they're in such crowded offense that it's difficult to me to say that in a managed league, I'm going to feel comfortable starting Dalton Schultz this week or Cole Kmet this week. Yeah, you just play game script, you play positive game environments, but there's a very good chance that Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins make Dalton Schultz a completely random, you have no idea when he's going to go off type of play. And same can be said for Cole Kmet with all three of those Bears wide receivers there. So TJ Hawkinson, the final guy that is in this range of the draft, obviously when he's healthy, he would be way higher than this, but he is likely to start the season missing a couple games, missing the first 6 games, potentially on the PUP list. He's a good guy to stash if you have some upside swings that you can just stash on your IR spot, but otherwise I probably wouldn't draft him in a managed league. Maybe if you want, you could punt tight end completely, grab Dallas Goedert or Pat Freiermuth in say round 10, round 11 or something like that, and then maybe in round 13, round 14, grab TJ Hawkinson. If you completely punted the position, you get your safe option with Goddard or Freiermuth, and then maybe you pair him up with TJ Hawkinson later on so that in the late portion of the season when everything matters and you want to try and win the championship, championship, you do have at least one guy who can be a league-winning tight end, because C.J. Hawkinson, like I said, when healthy, should be that type of dude. So moving into the final group of tight ends, we have the tight end 17 through tight end 24, Luke Musgrave, Hunter Henry, Noah Fant, Tyler Conklin, Cade Otton, Isaiah Likely, Jonnu Smith, and Ben Sinnott. Reading the table here, like, it looks like there's a lot of question marks around these guys. You have some ceiling plays with Luke Musgrave, Noah Fant, Jonnu Smith, and Ben Sinnott. You also have some floor plays with Hunter Henry, Tyler Conklin, and Cade Otton. But I look at this situation and I feel like I would be really uncomfortable with this guy as my tight end one in a managed league. And again, in best ball, maybe you can get away with it because you can draft three of these dudes and just completely punt the position and load up later on. But in managed leagues, I just don't feel comfortable with this one of these dudes as my lead tight end going into each and every week. You're basically already admitting that you're streaming the tight end position from the very get-go of the draft. So again, if you love Noah Fant, like I really actually quite like Noah Fant this year, but he's more so the type of guy that I would draft if I had Dalton Schultz, or if I had Dallas Goedert, or if I had Pat Freiermuth already and I wanted an upside swing, or if I'm in best ball and I wanted to lock down my tight end position at my tight end two, I think Noah Fant is a fine option. I just wouldn't feel comfortable with Noah Fant as my main tight end going into a managed league as my only guy, or maybe I had Fant and Sinnott as my only two guys. I don't think you're strong enough at the position to be able to do that. So if you're taking anything away from this part of it, it's that you're probably not in a good spot if you draft one of these guys as your only tight end. You're going to need somebody better than that. You're going to need multiple swings at the bat there. Let's move into scoring the tight ends, because as we do in all these videos, we make a scorecard and kind of determine which areas of the draft are profitable, which areas of the draft are we attacking. And as you can see, basically kind of lined up with everything that I said, the top six tight ends in ADP are great options. My plan at tight end is quite simple. Route number one is I would love to secure one of these top six guys. As you can see, they just completely stand out as awesome, awesome values, better than the top six tight ends were in ADP last year. And that's saying a lot, because elite tight end was quite valuable last year. With Kelce and Laporta in the mid third round, I'm okay pulling the trigger. But like I said, it's difficult when the running back and wide receiver projections are strong in there, that area of the draft. Trey McBride in mid round four, again, the wide receivers and running backs start to taper off, so I'm okay with him there. Or in the range that I've been targeting the most, specifically in my home league, I pick at the 103, which means that snake draft rules dictate I pick at the 503. I really like getting one of Andrews, one of Kincaid, one of Kyle Pitts with one of those picks, because I feel quite good that all three of those guys have super, super high ceilings. I would say Pitts is the one that has the highest ceiling. Mark Andrews is the riskiest. Dalton Kincaid, kind of a good balance of the two. Again, if I don't get one of the top six tight ends, let's say I went wide receiver, running back in those positions, and it's round six, round seven, I don't mind grabbing George Kittle or Evan Engram, but to be honest, I prefer punting that group of tight ends unless I get really good value on them, and grabbing that Jake Ferguson, Brock Bowers, David Njoku tier, because instead of grabbing George Kittle in round six, I can grab Jake Ferguson in round nine, around 10 potentially, and I can continue to pound out wide receivers and running backs or quarterbacks, whatever, in that area of the draft where most of the running back and wide receiver values by round eight, round nine, round 10, where Ferguson, Bowers, and Njoku go, they're usually dried up at that point in the draft. So I actually feel better deviating, just given the landscape of A, how good these guys project. Like, you can see they have green projections here, meaning that they do have this type of ceiling. Jake Ferguson, Brock Bowers, and David Njoku, the fact that they're just a touch behind those like sixth, seventh round guys, and they actually project apparently better than George Kittle and Evan Engram from a ceiling standpoint, just makes me want to punt that group of tight ends into round eight, round nine, round 10, when the wide receiver and running back value has dried up anyways. And then I'll just take Ferguson and Njoku or Brock Bowers at that point in time. And then failing that, and again, I don't want to take this route very often, route three is grabbing Goddard or Freiermuth as your main tight end, and then swinging in the later portion of the draft for an upside guy like TJ Hawkinson if he's falling, especially if you have an IR spot. I think that's definitely a more viable strategy. Noah Fant or Ben Sinnott specifically. So generally, I'm in favor of fading tight ends, especially when it comes to like dynasty formats. But this year in redraft managed leagues, I really don't want to. I think that I want to get to a point where the tight end is the best projection on the board at some point from rounds like four through seven. That usually ends up being the case. And then failing that, like I said, round eight to 10, that definitely ends up being the case. So inside of the first 10 rounds, I probably want to leave with my set it and forget it tight end if you guys are taking anything away from this video. In managed home leagues, try and secure David Njoku or better at the tight end position, whichever falls to you. For me, my favorite targets based on the value that lines up at tight end versus the other positions that are on the board and kind of just guys that I've noticed that have fallen to me. Travis Kelce in the early to mid third round, he's just such a great projection that I think you have to take him at that point. Kyle Pitts in the early fifth round, the late fourth round. Dalton Kincaid, kind of same area of the draft. I do think that George Kittle is a half decent value because sometimes he falls to like the 6-7 turn almost. Brock Bowers, Jake Ferguson, and David Njoku, like I said, rounds 8-10 are the guys that I find myself targeting the most often. So what are you guys doing at tight end? Let me know down below, who is your guy this year? Who do you really like? Which pockets of the draft are you attacking? I kind of give you guys my 2 cents throughout this video. If you enjoyed this video, leave a like down below. Leave a like if you've enjoyed this series so far. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. Finding the next league winner. It's what I do every single year on this channel. This is year 4 of me doing it because I think it is one of the best ways to evaluate your early round draft strategy and figuring out which pockets of which position are the strongest. And if I had to rank them right now, it's like round 1, I want to grab a wide receiver. I think that is where the draft is the most strong. Round 2, also probably a wide receiver. Round 3, probably a running back is the most strong position there. Round 4, it's probably tight end or quarterback there. Round 5, it's probably wide receiver slash tight end or quarterback. Round 6, it's probably wide receiver. Round 7, it's probably wide receiver. Round 8, it's probably wide receiver or running back. Round 9, it's probably tight end, quarterback, or wide receiver. And then round 10, probably the same thing. So again, using that as your roadmap and determining, okay, if I deviate for a round 1 running back, where am I going to make up the value at wide receiver? Thinking about the pockets that you're going to be in the draft at each position is a really important part to draft strategy. And of course, if you want specific player takes, if you want our rankings, if you want our draft guide to help you dominate your league mates this year, head on over to flockfantasy.com. Use the promo code FSE. It is available over there for everybody involved. 7-day free trial to get you started over there and 30% off with our promo code. But if you do want to get it for free, you can sign up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 as a minimum deposit and use promo code FSE. And within 24 hours, the draft guide will get emailed to you. If you used our promo code last year, tell a friend about Underdog Fantasy. Get them to sign up on Underdog Fantasy with a minimum $10 deposit and then forward you the email of the draft guide to you, and then you'll be able to use it there as well. So definitely make sure you guys are checking that out if you're interested. Both will be linked down below in the description. But with that being said, peace out, and we'll talk to you soon.